Blog.
Hey, good afternoon and good morning, my... Whoa. Take two on the world of craziness. Welcome. Good afternoon. Good morning. We have a little bit of echo, and I'm not sure where that's coming from. I wanted to start out with giving Jessica Borden, Elfin, I think, from Journey to Wellness. She is a 3D, 4D ultrasonographer. A big shout-out, and you can find out more information about her lovely services. Diagnostic Ultrasound is her business, and you can find out more information at www.ultrasoundsuite.com. She has a beautiful office. It is wonderful, and she's just a great person in general. So high five to you, Miss Jess, and thank you very much. I am very blessed and fortunate to have two of my best friends in the same room today. We are going to talk to Roxy Zwicker, amazing, talented, and incredibly busy lady. So it was nice that she was able to take part of her afternoon to come out and talk to us about the power of one and inspiration. And so that's going to be super cool. I also wanted to give a shout out to my buddy OT and Naimi. Last week's show, I listened to it twice, and I was rolling on the floor. It was so much fun. Got a lot of great feedback, and we're going to have another relationship show again via request. People want to know, is sexting cheating? What is cheating, and how do you flirt when you're in your 40s? Those are some of the questions I got back, so that will be a super fun show sometime late summer. It is a glorious, beautiful, about 60-degree sunny day here on the seacoast, so very grateful to be enjoying that. And Amy's floating around somewhere. Good morning, my co-host. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm doing great. And out to breakfast in to my favorite store, Sun Stars Herbal, and to the Target, and then back here.
Hey, do you want to give us another shout out in regards to Saturday's 8th Chakra event?
8th Chakra is putting on a holistic fair. It's their second annual, I believe. And it's on 36th and Elliott, Maine at the Regatta Room from 10 to 4. I know it's a small donation to get in. I believe it's between $3 to $5. And there's going to be an entire room full of holistic healers and practitioners there. So Earth Energy, which is my business, and Miss Rusty with Blog Talk Radio is going to be there. So if you've ever wanted to see us in person, come on by. We'd love to see you.
Groovy. Well, I definitely want to give a big shout out to Miss Roxy. She's in the house. Lift up the roof. Hiya. So good morning, afternoon, good morning, and happy Wednesday, humpity hump day to you, my friend. How you doing?
I am awesome. How are you? Happy Wednesday.
The humpity hump day is my favorite day because I get to play for a little while with all my peeps and homies out there. It's beautiful out. So, Miss Roxy, who are you? What do you do? Because I'm privileged to know you for years now, but, you know, some of the people out there don't know the incredible, vast array of very talented, gifted things that you do. So why don't you give us an about me?
Well, I will try to be as modest as I can here, because it's really more about getting messages out to the listeners and to everyone who is interested in living an inspired life. But I also currently live on the seacoast. I am originally from Massachusetts. I am the author of 5 books on local legends, lore, and history, in addition to that, I am a metaphysical teacher and instructor, tour guide. I filmed with the History Channel, the Travel Channel, PBS, New England Cable News, all about doing things that are a little bit out of the normal and out of the box, stepping out of your comfort zone and really living an inspired life. Most recently, I filmed a TV series called The Power of One, and that's probably something that I'll be focusing a lot of our conversation on today. And it's all about tapping into your own personal power for inspiration and living the life that you have desired. So it's been definitely a very unique lifestyle that I've led up into this point. And it's all about the choices that I've made and, as I said, stepping out of your own comfort zone. So that's really where I'm coming from. There's probably a lot more I could tell you, but again, I really don't want to make this all about me. I want to talk about being inspired, because we all have inspiration right at the tips of our fingers if we only stop and take a look at it.
So what started you on this journey, and how long have you been writing and, inspiring people to have a fabulous life?
Well, my journey started back in 1970 in Boston, Massachusetts. I came into this world under, really difficult circumstances and, spent the first 6 months of my life in the hospital fighting to survive and be here. And luckily I had, people looking out for me, angels looking out for me and making it possible to be here. And I've been writing basically since I was a teenager. My first book was published in 2007, although in high school I did have a number of writings published back then as well. And, I've always been an artist and looked to the creative arts as my outlet for things, basically all of my life. And I think as a kid, I was very inspired by those posters that used to hang in our school classrooms that, had like the kitty hanging on the rope and, hang in there and things will get better and, take the road less traveled and all of that. And that's kind of been my motto in life, is to take the road less traveled ever really since I was a teenager. So it's been a long road ongoing. I've been, teaching the metaphysical arts for over 10 years in all different ways on, how you can just enhance your own intuition and your own experience, whether it's, through your own writing, whether it's through art, whether it's through crystals. There's a lot of different ways that you can do these things based on my own experience and working with others, again, basically since I was a teen.
Now, you said there's different ways that you work with people with the metaphysical. Do you find that everyone has to find their own kind of niche? Is it because there's so much out there as far as metaphysical and sciences and belief systems? And I just wanted to find out exactly, how you work with someone. Do you everyone must be different in how, what they're drawn to.
Everyone is very different. A source of meditation for one person is very different for another. But what I have found is that people intuitively already know what works for them. When we talk about doing crystal work, I'll find that people that are very into crystals have their whole lives been collecting rocks and stones and not really known why, but, mm-hmm. Have taken solace in those types of things, especially with working with folks in the arts. People have, taken to the arts to grieve, to heal, to express themselves. So it's really something that people have already done. For me, what I try to do is identify that, enhance that, and really delve into the whos and whys of how you can expand that and really find, in the end, what makes you happy and what makes you be able to complete, what you want to do on a day-to-day basis. So it's very different for every single person.
Mm-hmm.
So what is one of those times? There's echoing. Sorry, guys. What is one of the times that it was most inspirational for you when going through this teaching process?
Well, there's definitely been a lot of times, it's, to use the word breakthrough is really, kind of a little bit bigger than I want to call it. But with some people, there have been amazing breakthroughs. you know, and working with sessions with people who are trying to heal their body. I talk to a lot of people that physically have a lot of ailments, and, you know, going to the doctor isn't always giving them the best sense that they need. You know, they end up taking a lot of pills and really feeling run down and really losing the zest for things. And in working with people in that sense, empowering them to stand up and say what they feel. There was one particular woman who I worked with who just felt very intimidated by her doctor, and, you know, her doctor was basically chastising her every time she went to see her, and emotionally that was such a drain on her that she felt she had no spine, no backbone, and she couldn't heal herself. So we talked about how she could overcome that by simply just finding her own strength and standing in her own power and knowing that she was really in control of the situation, and whether it meant that she had to carry some crystals in her pocket, if she had to visualize, which is one thing that we worked on, her standing in a healthy stance, in, you know, the way that she pictured she should feel, she was able to stand up and make herself known to her doctor, and where they were able to open up a wonderful line of communication where she was just feeling like she was not being heard whatsoever. So it's little steps like that that, you know, for this particular woman that I'm giving the example of, was quite a breakthrough for her. And in the 2 years that I've been working with her, it's been really, really amazing how she has come around. She's come out of her shell. She doesn't hole up in her house anymore, and she is able to take treatments that work for her based on the fact she was able to stand up, stand in her own power for herself.
Awesome. Now, give us a little bit about how we can contact you.
Well, you can contact me through my website, which is RoxyZ.com, which is kind of the landing page for all things Roxy, I like to tell people, because I have my hand in so many different things that I'm doing, whether it's, you know, the classes or the tours or working with the Power of One. All of my information is there, and you can feel free to use the contact form through there to contact me.
All right. And if you want to call in and ask Roxy questions, the number here is 347-205-9443. And you are talking to Rusty, Amy, and fabulous Roxy Zwicker here on Living and Thriving with Rusty. So give us an idea of the Power of One. Let's talk about that a little bit. I was very blessed to be one of the first guests on the show. For those of you who are on my Facebook, you can look on my homepage to watch the interview. That was an incredible day for me personally. My ex-husband was in the hospital, and I, from what we thought was a heart attack, and I raced from the hospital directly to do the interview anyway. So, and thank God it was with Roxy, because she's just very comforting at that time. So talk to us a little bit about the rest of the show. I've been blessed to see a lot of the interviews and some really, really, really neat people on there. How was that experience for you?
Well, the power is one I would really like to see as a concept, something that is grasped by everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone. It doesn't matter what your, you know, financial status is. It doesn't matter what your relationship status is, what your social status is. You have the power within you to grasp the whole concept of the Power One. And, you know, you can call it the ripple effect if you want, but it's really, as I said, standing in your own power and making the unexpected change in your life for the positive. It's all about kind of getting outside of your comfort zone, which I know is really tough for a lot of people to do that because of, you know, religious beliefs and our upbringing and our experiences. And, you know, it's so easy for us to become complacent in the place that we are. But the changes that are out there that can be so incredibly positive, like I said, are right at your fingertips. And one of the examples that I give, because a lot of people who meet me say, wow, you know, you've been on TV. And to me, it's great to have been on TV. It really doesn't seem like such a huge deal because of the way these things happen. One example that I give is – it was a you know, an awful rainy, you know, overcast, typical New England dreary day, and I was supposed to meet some folks for a tour over in the beautiful city of Portsmouth. And, you know, I really didn't feel like I had it in me. There was only two people that was going to show up, and I contemplated canceling it. And for some reason, I said, you know what, I'm going to make the best of it. I went and met the two folks. We did the tour in the pouring rain, and they were absolutely the nicest folks. And then here's what happened from that. I did the tour for them. They recommended that I come and speak for an organization that they were a part of. I went to speak to the organization, and they got a lot of press based on the fact that this was something new that I was talking about, and it was, you know, the local history and what have you. And from that press, a reporter over at New England Cable News had read it and had contacted me based on that article to come and do a four-minute feature on the news, which was really quite amazing. And I can trace it step by step right back to those two people on that rainy day. You know, I can tell you about back roads that I've gone down and met the most amazing people on the side of the road and heard their story and passed their story on. I met a woman up in Harpswell, Maine. I was just taking a back roads ride on a weekend, and she handmade quilts, and she had them all hanging in her yard. And, I talked to her and learned a little bit of the history of the town and learned about her. And she was just so inspiring on her own. And I never would have met her or heard her story or have been able to share, you know, her gifts just by passing out her information to people that I know if I didn't take that back road that day. So it's all about doing something that's a little bit unexpected.
Yeah, I've been reading some stuff by Wayne Dyer, as we spoke about earlier, and he talks about choices. Everything, and you talk about people having the power, and it is in that, and it's quite simple, but it is one of the hardest things to do, is to, you know, focus solely on positive, and, you know, is that what you do with your clients, is teaching them to be, you know, more positive or think more positively? What is your protocol when you work with people?
Well, you know, it's really, really simple suggestions. If you've had a yearning or a want to do something and something has held you back, you know, whether it's, you know, obligations you feel that you have, you know, whether it's relationship issues, why not seize the moment and do it now? You know, one of the things that I tell people is when you get up in the morning, if you had an extra 10 minutes, what would you do in that 10 minutes? Would you sit down and, you know, write your feelings in a journal? Would you go and take a walk seaside? What would you do if you had that whole 10 minutes to yourself with no intrusions? How would that change your day? And, you know, for some people that I've talked to, again, you know, using our beautiful seacoast as a backdrop, and just like, you know, taking a walk in Newcastle and, you know, feeling the sea air and feeling refreshed and feeling that connectedness to nature, that can really put a whole new slant on your day. Plus, you don't know, you know, if you're going to meet someone, if you're going to discover something. Do something that you haven't done but you've been wanting to do. Start small, and you'll really be surprised how much easier it becomes to find that fulfillment in whatever it is you're thinking. You know, if there's a class that you've wanted to take, what's holding you back from doing that? Really identify in these instances what holds you back. In many cases, you will find that it is no one but you. At the end of the day, whatever conditioning that you've gone through in your life, look at it differently. Look at how your life could be different and just let the unexpected happen.
So I know the answer to this, but that's because I'm spoiled. Give our viewers an idea about the modalities that you use. You know, do you work a lot in the metaphysical? You teach a lot of metaphysical type classes. How do you connect that piece with inspiring others?
Well, there's a lot of different modalities that I teach. I've, you know, taught everything from tea leaf reading, which is connecting with the spirits that are around you in the bottom of your teacup. You know, a lot of people, like myself, prefer tea to coffee. Or, you know, if you're interested in trying, a really nice form of loose leaf tea, sit down, have your cup of tea, and look at the images that are in the bottom of the teacup and see what messages there are in the teacup for you. Going back to the crystals and the stones, you don't have to go out and buy crystals and stones. You can go down to the seashore, and I can tell you I have, rows and rows on shelves of rocks that I've collected from one, trip or vacation or another. And, it holds, that stone holds the energy of that wonderful memory for me. So I know that I have a whole shelf full of memories there. And it's just little simple things like that that you yourself can do that I think, again, you're probably doing these things already and you don't realize them, but let those be a tool for you. So like the tea leaf reading, like the crystals, things of that nature, like the journaling, like the art, really use the art to express yourself. And, I think based on, whether it's painting or drawing, it's great to go out and get books and learn from the masters and take a class, but really be free in your creativity, whatever form your creativity takes. Because I think that's when you are being your true self. You are really feeling your essence and speaking through yourself. So whether you're speaking through stones or tea leaves or art, these are all the different ways that I try to give people examples to really open up and stand in that power of one.
All right. So we're going to stand up to the power of one, which I can't stand up to Roxy. She'll kick me. She's a very, very talented person, and definitely feel free to call in if you have any questions. The number here is 347-205-9443. So talk to me a little bit about the tea readings. I know once upon a time, a long time ago, I actually sat in while you were teaching a tea reading class. I don't think you've ever read my tea.
I haven't read your tea leaves.
So what's that about? Is it because I'm a coffeeaholic?
It is because you're a coffeeaholic, yes. It's hard to convert you coffee folks to loose leaf tea. I know.
I've done super well. I've gone from 2 pots to 4 cups a day. So I'm getting there slowly.
Well, here, congratulations. Substitute those 2 cups with tea now. Tea leaf reading is an ancient form of divination that has really captured a lot of people around the world, and is still fairly new in coming to the United States. It was something that was very popular in the 19th century during the spiritualist movement, when we had parlor tricks and the whole notion of seances and trying to connect to the spirit world. And tea leaf reading was a medium to do that. Basically, if you think about whatever is on your mind as you're drinking the tea, and again, this has to be the loose leaf tea, not the tea bag variety, look in the bottom of your teacup and see what messages are there. You can get anything from numbers to letters to symbols to animals. These are things that are significant to you in your life, but are visible little signposts in the teacup. So I have, been reading tea leaves since, I was probably 16, and I do tea leaf reading parties, and I read tea leaves on a regular basis for people. And it's really cool because it's such a visual. It is what it is. So it's just this really kind of cool form of divination. They still read tea leaves all around the world. It has roots in China, also in Eastern Europe, and it's made its way around the world. So outside of America, tea, besides water, is the number one consumed beverage around the world. So it's steeped in, no pun intended, a lot of cultures still to this day.
Very cool. So what other types of, let's go and talk about what kinds of methods you would use for inspiration. What do you suggest, like an inspiration 101? How would you go about those of us who are big pains in the arses?
geez, I don't know who you're referring to on this.
I'm a goat, you know. They keep telling me I'm a Pisces, but I don't believe it.
Well, you know, it's, again, it's really hard to, you know, take the time for yourself to determine what is inspirational to you, because we do feel guilty that we're being selfish in taking this time for ourselves. But I really, really think that it's totally needed in everyone's life. You know, you can go back to thinking about when you were a child. What did you like to do most? What do you like to do most now? How is that different? And, you know, start with a lot of the simple things, the simple joys that you have in your life. And again, going back to the example that I gave previously, if there was anything that you could do right now, what would you do? What would you like to accomplish? I don't believe at any point in anyone's life that you should reach a point where you say, I wish I had. I don't ever, ever want to get to that point in my life where I have a regret saying, I wish I had done something. I very much try to get it all in. Unfortunately, that makes me a huge overachiever, which anyone who knows me well, I am a huge overachiever, which is my own cross to bear. But really, think about what you would not like to hold on to and reach your goal. What is it that holds you back? Is it your own thought process? Don't get to a point in your life where you say, gee, I wish I had. Because you still have time, whether you're 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 or 60, there is still time for you to reach that goal. It's never, ever too late. Start with what you would like to do. If it's writing a book, I had no idea I was ever going to author a book, let alone five of them, and I'm working on two more right now.
And you're helping me with mine. So.
And I'm helping you with yours as well. Don't think that you can't. Don't think that you don't have the training to do it. Don't think you have to wait for the right day to come along. Just start now.
Well, and that actually bringing that subject up, because the book that I'm writing is pretty tough stuff, and there are so many blocks for me just on a personal level that have come up. And you've been a great support, absolutely, kicking me a little bit, which is what my best friend's supposed to do. But, you know, I know I'm not the only one out there who struggles with whatever subject, whatever goal-reaching fantasy. What kinds of things would you recommend? You know, would it be word reversal? Would it be my favorite thing in the whole world, my manifestation book that I sleep with? Don't judge me. I love my book. It's got glitter.
Anything that has glitter can't be bad.
Heck no. But, you know, so with a lot of my clients I work with word reversal. I work with writing, burning, letting it go type stuff. And it's easier to teach it than it is to do it sometimes. I will be the first to admit that. However, what kinds of things do you do with your students physically? You know, do you offer them challenges? Do you offer them affirmations?
Well, I definitely offer a lot of affirmations, and I definitely offer the advice to everyone that I talk to is don't use the word can't. Can't put so many limitations on you. When you're talking about something that you're aspiring to do and something that's inspirational, pull the word can't right out of it, because that you're making your first block, and that's really going to start your series of blocks after that, because it's going to be I can't because, and then you're going to come up with all these reasons why you can't. Can't isn't part of your language. Do whatever it is that you enjoy. Do something completely silly. Do something fun. Do something that is very unexpected for you. That is the absolute key.
Now, I've been, you know, dabbling in different metaphysical things all my life, it seems. And I just started journaling. I'm having a really hard time with that. Can you give a suggestion on...
Absolutely. You know what you can do? You're having a hard time finding the words. go ahead. You know, I'm a big person, you know, who really believes in recycling and things of that
mm-hmm.
nature. Find some books that you have. Find, you know, some magazines, some pictures that you have kicking around, and put those in your journal, because sometimes the best thing that you can do is have that visual. When it's
mm-hmm.
hard to find the words, go ahead, put pictures of your kids in your journal, because looking at their picture is going to inspire you to find the words. If there's, you know, pictures of places where you'd like to visit, things that you would like to have, put it in your journal, because that will help inspire you to really bring those things to fruition, but also find the words that you need to get to that point.
Yeah, I think it's not just the words, but I think I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I've always, for some reason, felt guilty for asking things for myself. I'm always asking for things for others, which I'm totally comfortable with, but to ask for things for myself, it feels selfish. I'm struggling through that as well.
But anyone who works in the metaphysical arts knows that what you put out to the universe, the universe responds to in kind.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't ask for it, the universe doesn't know what to send to you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to verbalize. You have to write it down, because for as much as you do for everyone, that verbalization is taking place, but yours isn't. You need to put that in words. That's
mm-hmm.
not being selfish. That is saying, this is what I need so I can continue to give to others. And that takes that selfish piece right out of it.
Yes, because that's ultimately what I want to do. If I were blessed with, you know, a windfall of abundance, which I know I'm going to be, definitely a good part of that would be helping others find their peace or whatever it may be that I'm called to do. You know, I really have enjoyed my little 3-year journey so far of being a business owner and not being possessed by the man, and you know, it's been quite a journey, and I've been blessed to meet people like you and Rusty and, you know, a lot of people out there, and I really hope that there's people listening out there to what Roxy's saying, because it's absolutely true, and it is hard to do, but it's a day-to-day battle, and if you just get through one day at a time.
Well, remember, you have to think above all else, which is another big challenge. It kind of falls into the can't category,
mm-hmm.
that you deserve it.
Yeah.
And I have that conversation with so many people who feel that they do not deserve it for whatever reason. If you don't feel that you deserve it at the core of your being, then you will not get there, because
mm-hmm.
you, whoever you are that are listening right at this moment, you deserve all that you wish for and more. You deserve it in every sense of the word. You have to believe it, no matter what the world throws at you. And the world can throw all kinds of crap at you every day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know you deserve it. You are worthy. You are entitled to be here in every way, and you deserve everything good coming your way. Absolutely.
Well, I'm, you know, very blessed to be part of this show, and very blessed to have you on the show, because that's what this show is all about, is living and thriving in this crazy, mixed-up world that we are in sometimes. Sometimes, like the other day when I took all the kids to Audience Point, was a glorious day. I didn't think about anything else but being there, and that I wish I could do every single day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we do have to make a living, so there is a balancing act to that, but you do have to do that. You do have to just make a decision. It's okay if I don't do the dishes. It's okay if I don't vacuum or do the laundry. It's more important to go out and reconnect to nature.
Absolutely. Our time, you know, when you think about it, is it's so limited here. You know, I sometimes look at the calendar and I'm like, oh my God, I am going to be 42 years old this year, and I'm astonished. I personally am astonished. And then, you know, when I talk to people, they're like, oh, well, you know, you've accomplished so much. And then in my eyes, I'm like, no, I haven't accomplished anything yet. There's still so much more I want to do. And that's, you know, that's part of being driven. But our time really is so limited. Don't have the point where you're going to be looking back and regretting And if it means that, you know, the laundry is going to wait and the dishes are going to wait, you know what? They're going to be home there for you when you get back from Odeon Point. But that beautiful 70-degree day and that great attitude that your kids are having when you're out running around and enjoying yourself on Odeon Point is worth all the hours, all the time, all the money in the world.
Yep, just the giggles from them and them taking off their shoes and connecting to the energy and actually saying that. That moment alone of those four girls putting their feet in the grass saying, I feel the energy from the earth, take your shoes off, that right there was worth all the money, tea in China, whatever you want to say, it was worth every single thing that I can imagine. It was a moment for me, which was really great because I'm also helping younger people to connect to that energy, and that's pretty astounding.
Well, you know what they had there is they had their own little power of one right there.
Yes, they did.
Just by putting their feet in the grass and saying, I feel the energy of the earth. Now, I'm going to turn that around to all the listeners. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you went outside, took your shoes off, put your feet in the grass, and felt the power of the earth and let nothing else get in your head? It's pretty hard to do, but you know what? You can do it.
You can. Everyone can. And I didn't even ask them to do it. They did it completely on their own. So we have that in us. As we grow, when we are reconditioned, we lose that sense as we grow older because of, you know, stuff we let in. And to watch these children be so free and so connected was really empowering to me.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing? You didn't find it in a book.
Mm-mm.
You didn't have to look for it. You didn't have to pay for it. But there it is.
Yep.
There it is.
Even the little one that had a fight with a prickly bush.
Oh, that's learning about nature. You learn that stabby bushes are stabby, and you don't go near them unless you want to be stabbed by a stabby bush. It's funny because this past weekend, you know, my husband and I did the same thing. We went and, you know, went deep into the woods and did some hiking. And there was, you know, a point where there was, like, no one else there. When we came out of the woods, like, everybody was gone. It was after sunset. But just looking at the trees and hearing the sounds of the birds and and all of that, you disconnect from everything that you set as a limitation. You are just there in the moment, just being.
Yep.
And that's really at our core what we should all be doing is just being.
Yep.
And if it's nature that does it for you, if it's writing that does it for you, if it's hugging your child that does it for you, allow yourself to be, and the inspiration will be noticed all around you.
And just for the record, everybody out there in Radio Land, the child who got into the battle with a prickly bush and lost badly was mine. My child. My little nature orb, Chloe, has beautiful marks up and down her leg and on her elbow. But in her warrior princess style, she looked at me and said, "See? Look what happened to me, Mom." This weekend, I actually spent a lot of time at trade shows in the area. I did not have an opportunity to go out to the ocean, which I desperately need to recharge. That is my favorite place to sit and meditate and enjoy. My question to you, my friend, I have lots. I always have questions. I don't know why she puts up with me.
It's because I love you.
Let's talk a little bit about abundance and prosperity, because in my world of my manifestation book, there is, you know, you can absolutely be abundant, which is everything, and then you can be prosperous. And there is a clear distinction, as you know, for those of you who are beginning your journey of manifestation and beginning your journey of, they call it treasure mapping, they call it dream boards, it's basically all the same. And actually, the three of us
power
at some
intention.
The power of intention, exactly. The three of us are going to be sitting down at some point to make our vision boards or manifestation boards or whatever term you want to use. And we'll talk to the audience about that when we've completed that exercise, because it's one of my favorite things to do. Crayons and glitter.
And glue.
And glue. Cement paste. So give us, you know, kind of the 101 in regards to the difference and why it's very important to be careful not to omit one over the other.
Well, for you to realize that, you know, you truly have abundance is just by looking at what you have around you. Because remember, you came into this world with nothing. You came in with nothing, not even a shred of clothing. Granted, you came into a loving parent or parents. You know, hopefully that was the situation that you were brought into. Some of us were not brought into that situation. You have to look around you at your family, at your friends, because family and friends is really where your abundance starts. To know that you have people who love you, who care about you, is worth more than any amount of furnishings you could have in your home. It is truly the core of who we are, because through other people, we see ourselves, we get that feedback, we have that support to get through our daily lives. And I think, you know, speaking for me, I don't know about the both of you, but we draw our strength from those who are around us, whether it's family or friends. That is the first step of abundance. I think probably the second step of abundance is really just being grateful for whatever you have, whether you're employed or not. It's really hard sometimes when you're going through a tough financial strait, which I think pretty much most of us all have been in at one point or another, realizing what you do have. Because in context of looking at abundance and saying, well, I want more, what's around you? And how do you make room for abundance? Again, we had talked a little bit about putting that intention out there to the universe. If you have a house full of clutter, of, you know, crap that isn't serving you and boxes of stuff, move it out. Move it out to make room for that abundance, and realize what is it in the abundance field of things that you need. Is it, you know, is it a better house? Is it a better car? Is it a better job? Start with what you have now, and with your goals, is that really what you need? Do you really need, you know, the 6-bedroom house, or are you going to be content with the 3-bedroom house? You know, it's great to think big, but really find out what is it that you absolutely need. For some people, it might just be living in a tent in the woods, you know, something that's, you know, really kind of basic, where the abundance is just being in the woods and being in nature around them. So there is a lot of different ways to look at what makes you feel fulfilled. It doesn't necessarily have to be in things. It can be in your attitude that makes you feel full. But don't shy away from it. Make sure that you're very, very clear. You know, as I was saying before with the journaling, you know, look in books, find words that make you feel abundant. Repeat them. Make them be your mantra. If you do any kind of meditation, if you're driving down the street, say it 5 times in your car alone. You know, if it's love that makes you feel abundant, then just, you know, say, I am loved as you're driving down the road. That makes you feel fulfilled.
What's interesting about that process, and I'm actually sharing part of my manifestation book with Roxy, which you're not supposed to do, but I've got my 2 best friends here. They already know what I want. Is that when you repeat certain things, like if you could see my journal, my manifestation book, there are words that I chose to put in different colors, and I chose the chakra colors. They're in a circular fashion. And, you know, one is wealth, one is wisdom, one is passion, one is love, create. And these are just words. And then I have pictures on there as well of the places that I want to be, where I want to be, things that I like. And it's all in a scrapbook kind of format that works for me and the way my brain works. But whenever I'm feeling despair, I go right to this and I start reading all of these words. And there's probably, 40
mm-hmm.
on there?
Mm-hmm.
This works really well for my clients as well. We have glitter crayon time in class. But it's very easy to do. You don't really need to invest. I think I purchased my journal book for maybe $5, and it's probably 200-300 pages. Mm-hmm. What kinds of things could you start out with?
Really easy. What I talk to a lot of people about is sacred space. Take a shelf, a bookshelf, the corner of your desk, your nightstand. Put things there that are appealing, that make you feel abundant. Again, whether it's pictures of your family, whether it's that special stone, it's a piece of jewelry given to you by a loved one, something, put it in your space so that way when you look at this space, you are feeling fulfilled, you are feeling abundant. You're also creating, again, if we're getting into the metaphysics of things, you're creating that energy there, that wonderful positive energy space that feeds you. And, you know, I talk a lot about creative visualization with a lot of people. You know, whether you're at work or driving in your car, you go back to that sacred space in your mind, that one place of your special things. You could write down these words, you know, put them underneath a candle. There's a lot of different ways where you can move this visualization into the real, into the tangible. Again, just saying them is wonderful. Writing them down is wonderful. Keeping them in a journal. And again, you know, making a little sacred space. If you do a meditation, put a piece of material down. Put those things down next to you because it's going to lift your energy as well. And again, your energy and intention goes into those things. I know we just mentioned the Wayne Dyer's intention as well. So again, you know, put your intention out there. Put it in the physical as well as the spiritual. You know, keep it in your thoughts, but again, vocalize it, write it down, you know, physically put it in your space. And, you know, most of all, really visualize it in your mind's eye. If you want to talk about, you know, your third eye chakra, you know, kind of opening that energy up, you know, that third eye space right in between your eyes, right around your forehead, just having that open, that visualization to help carry you when things are thrown at you unexpectedly, if you have that friend who happens to be giving you the business, if you're dealing with, you know, a coworker at work, if you've got that unexpected bill, again, use that visualization of getting you through that. You know, visualize your friend having a little bit more sense that she needs for, you know, the comments that she might be making today, or your coworker, you know, maybe going to speak to someone else and you being able to get through that day. Again, use that power that you have in there. You know, think of the universe as that receptor. You're putting that thought out there. You're putting that intention out there. And you're standing in your own power. Even if it feels uncomfortable, even if it feels selfish, it's not.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were talking about Wayne Dyer, and I was reading something that really inspired me. And it said, when people reach that level, that peacefulness of some people may call it enlightenment or, you know, whatever you want to call it, that their energy at that higher level influences at that first level 90,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go up the ladder in that consciousness, you affect many more people.
Yep.
And, he, you know, he quoted about Jesus and Buddha and a couple of Maharishi and a couple of other religious leaders. And it all made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
These people reached that level. They had the power to heal. They had the power to affect people. And we all have that power within us.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to find it.
Absolutely. And it really starts with small steps in getting to that point. You know, Another aspect of the power of one is what you touch today in, you know, who you speak to today, whatever it is you do today, you don't know the far-reaching consequences. You don't know who you're touching down the line, and you may never know. You may never know, and that's okay. But the fact is that you are doing that one thing to affect that power of one. You know, there's the whole, you know, that whole aspect of paying it forward. You know, you're paying the toll, which I know, Rusty, you've done on occasion. You know, you go through the toll and you pay the toll for the person behind you and things of that nature. Just those little things, again, you know, if you want to call it karma or the power of one or what have you, it sends that vibration out there, and every vibration is responded to in kind. So know that whatever it is you're doing may be affecting someone that you may never, ever meet. So keep that in mind as you go about your day, your daily lives. that you may be touching someone in a way that could possibly change their life in just one little thing that you're doing.
Well, and there's a couple of things that I wanted to bring up. One of the greatest things, I bought somebody lunch at Starbucks the other day and took off. And it's not, they looked like they were having a bad day. Mm-hmm. To me, that's the vibe that I got. So I was like, you know what, just, it was $8, that's fine. I think I had $20 for the week, big deal, whatever. But what's neat about, you know, inspiring yourself, which is really the key here, it's inspiring yourself so that you can be an inspiration to others,
mm-hmm.
is what it does to you physiologically,
mm-hmm.
and how your cells genuinely change and your synapses and your neurons genuinely become more active and your heart becomes clearer and your lungs become clearer and you hear better and you feel better. And, you know, altruism is a wonderful concept, and I don't think it's real because you end up enjoying the benefit,
mm-hmm.
of all of these good actions. Kind of touch base a little bit more on the physicalities of what happens.
Well, absolutely. You get this wonderful release and, you know, rush of endorphins, whether you know it or not. When you do that, you know, that chain of events, that unexpected, that doing something for somebody else, again, remember, you're stepping out of the box, and you might think, well, geez, you know, I don't have, you know, an extra $8 to buy someone lunch at Starbucks. Find another way that you can help someone. If you have a neighbor that has small children, think about, you know, you might have some clothes hanging out in your attic. Maybe that neighbor could use some clothes. Look at different ways where you can make that happen. And trust me, you will feel better. And again, sometimes you may get a response from the other person, you know, a little bit down the line where, you know, they have a great sense of appreciation. Or you may not, and they may take that act and pass it on to somebody else in ways that you can't see it. One of the things that I do is I also work in my infinite time for a thrift store for a homeless shelter for you know, homeless pregnant women, and it's amazing to see, you know, the situation that these young ladies are in and how just one little simple act can really, really change things. Just to know that somebody cares enough to do something really can make a difference. So think about it on, you know, a very fundamental level. But again, don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone and say, well, gee, I've never done anything like that. Imagine what it would be like. Imagine the best case scenario, what it would be like if you did, how good you would feel from doing that. It's really amazing. And again, you know, you don't have to take anybody to Starbucks. You're more than welcome to pay for the lunch. But look at ways that are right around you in your own little world of things that you could do to help someone else.
Inspirational posts on Facebook.
Oh, yep, inspirational posts on Facebook. That's definitely a big one. I'm always posting inspirational posts on Facebook. I do have a page on Facebook, by the way, for The Power of One as well. You can check that out on there. I do have posts on there from time to time as well. But inspirational posts are great.
So how can we view The Power of One? Can you explain a little bit more about The Power of One? And is it on television?
It has aired in some cities in Massachusetts. It was filmed in part in Lexington, Massachusetts, and then in various places here on the seacoast in New Hampshire on location. We do have a series right now that is on the internet, which I believe you can find through tvforyoursoul.com, which has a whole network of inspirational shows, which was produced by Marie Manning Productions. And you can find clips and bits on there. I know they're still in process of syndicating and networking it for PBS affiliates throughout the United States. So I know that was still ongoing. But certainly you can go online and view the clips, you know, on the Power of One's website, or you can go onto YouTube and find them. And it's just this really amazing concept in interviews with people who really lived a very, you know, inspiring life, who took that left turn very unexpectedly. There's a woman on there who, you know, worked at a very corporate job for all her life, and, you know, unfortunately, her father died literally at his desk at work, And she left with no expectations, her job, which was a very, you know, comfortable, well-paying job, to do what her heart called her to do, and it was to be an artist. There's another woman who always had a very difficult time in social situations with people, very awkward as she was growing up, and found that animals were really her peace of mind, and they understood her in a language that, you know, we really don't speak unless you have an animal for a pet or even, you know, I hate to say it, but even as a friend. So she decided that her best friends were animals, and the way that she was going to bring the magic that the animals had brought to her was to bring the animals to nursing homes and share them with the elderly who have, you know, such a wonderful sense and appreciation of just being able to hold a soft little bunny, you know, that really makes them feel wonderful and at peace when they might be feeling lonely and sad and, you know, sometimes left alone. So, again, little things like that, but learning how to do that just by stepping out of your comfort zone and, you know, doing something inspirational.
I know that... I'm a Girl Scout leader. I've been a Girl Scout leader for 19 years.
Woo-hoo!
And inspiring girls is a great part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And helping them achieve their goals, step out of their comfort zone. And one thing that sticks in my mind of the 19 years that I've done is we did a project with a nursing home. And we asked the director what we could do. And you know how old people love to tell stories. They love to tell their stories. So what we did is we had the girls go, we had them ahead of time have people gather some photos, and we brought in some photo albums. And so we paired up a girl or two with an elderly person, and as they were making this photo album with them, they were telling them the stories.
Mm.
And just to see the girls listening and, you know, just being filled up with, you know, how things were different when they were a girl or a boy and how different it is today, and exchanging life stories was just wonderful to watch. And then on one of the girls' graduations, she actually talked about that experience and how it changed her to do more for other people than just thinking about herself. That experience with that older person totally changed the way she looked at things.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
That is an experience that money couldn't buy.
Not,
that is something
not
that will stay with her for her whole life.
I volunteer. I pay to be a volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
But that moment and them thanking me, which I totally did not expect or needed to expect, that being in Girl Scouts, even though when they get in high school it's not cool to be in Girl Scouts, but they brought a lot of that with them, even though a lot of them didn't stay with me. I kept in touch with them to see how they were doing, and I still do with a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're my girls, every one of them from, you know, a lot of them are 25 years old, and I'm still a Girl Scout leader today. And the reason why, I don't really get too much in the politic part of it, I don't even go there, is to inspire girls to be the best they can be and to... no matter what circumstances they're in, they still have a choice to be the most wonderful human being they can be.
Absolutely, and that's such a great time to do it because, you know, they are so open to trying anything and experiences, and, you know, there's so much that lies ahead for them, and that's such a great foundation and groundwork for them. And that's a skill they'll take with them no matter what.
Because they'll try.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're uncomfortable because they have been in that situation, they have felt the uncomfortableness and then saw the reward on the other side.
Right.
So then they're less apt to be afraid of stepping out of their comfort zone. And I saw that. I do a lot. I'm one of the outdoor educators. So I teach canoeing. I teach rock climbing. I'm a challenge course facilitator, which if you know what a challenge course is, where they have to go through a series of courses. And, you know, a lot of them, either they have to work together as a team to accomplish the goal or individually have to push themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that I see unfold in these children when they do these challenge courses, and they're so happy at the end that they achieved that they're beaming. Their energy changes, their aura changes.
Oh, I bet.
It's just fantastic to watch. And people ask me, why do you spend so much time volunteering and doing this? And I said, why not?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Why wouldn't you? I mean, volunteering is, you know, it's such a wonderful, wonderful thing. If you, you know, if you have the time to volunteer 1 or 2 hours a week with, you know, with children or with the elderly, you'll find that to be inspirational mm-hmm. and life-changing as well. Again, you know what works for you, and, you know, it lies around every corner. It really
yeah,
does.
And you don't have to take it all at once, one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm not strong at journaling, but
mm-hmm.
I'm strong at visualization. I'm
yeah.
very strong at meditating and visualizing what I want, but I can't put it on paper. But that doesn't mean somebody else can't.
Right.
And, you know, I think that people, well, I have to do this, this, and this. No. One thing at a time. And you know, you just layer yourself upwards instead of peeling the layers off.
Mm-hmm.
I add layers to lift myself up.
Absolutely. There's no point in, you know, feeling that you're going to be overwhelmed. Excuse me. In any sense of working, you know, on living an inspired life, there's, you know, again, the only limitations that you're going to set are your own. And I really strongly suggest you set no limitations for yourself. And, you know, again, think about all the possibilities that lay before you when you were the age of a Girl Scout, when you were a child. Before you know everything that you know now, go back to that train of thought that you would have had as a child when there were no limitations. Imagine being a Girl Scout going to explore the world for the first time. You still can. It's not too late.
No, it's not. And I know women that are in their 70s that are still traveling and experiencing the world,
mm-hmm.
and they're just as inspired by us as we are of them.
Absolutely. There's a woman I had met it was back in 2005, and her name was Connie Small, and I met her when she was 100 years old, and she was an absolutely amazing woman. She was a lighthouse keeper's wife who, you know, tended lighthouses all off the coast of Maine, and you want to talk about storytellers. She was an amazing storyteller, and I feel so, so privileged to have known her for 3 years. She passed at the age of 103.
Wow.
She lived a very inspired life, and, you know, she got it. She didn't think that her life was hard, even though they lived without electricity for most of their life. It was just her and her husband, you know, 90% of the time, and it was work. But when I went to meet her, let me tell you, you could not help but be inspired. She, as I said, had stories, and there was a rock she had on a shelf, and she says, you know, why don't you take that rock down? She goes, I want to show you something. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, it's just a rock. She told me how she waited one day until low tide because out of all the rocks on the beach, there was this one particular rock that called to her. So she climbed the cliff, went down, got the rock, and she says, well, look at it. She goes, it's a pair of pants. She says, if you hold it one way, if you turn it another way, it's a tool for hammering. And this was just something that was very artistic and meaningful to her amongst this whole field of rocks, and she still had it with her at the age of 100. She saw the inspiration in so many things. That was such a big lesson that I took from her. And one thing whenever I talk about her, and I talk about her quite a lot, is I hope, and, you know, whenever I mention her name, that she is still alive within me and with the people that I tell her story to. Again, here is a woman, really tough life. She didn't think it was tough, but she saw inspiration all around her. Simple things.
All right. Now you've heard from one of my bestest, most creative, crazy, overwhelmingly talented friend Roxy. We're going to go and have a short break. We have a little bit of time left. It's unbelievable how fast time flies when you're having fun. Woo, woo. Go get some tea. Go and take care of your neck. Stretch. Do your thing. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Roxy. Rusty.
Welcome back, everyone out there in the universe. Welcome to Living and Thriving with Rusty and fabulous co-host Amy. And we have Roxy Zwickmeister, one of my dearest friends who likes to poke me in the forehead when I'm not feeling inspired.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she is the forehead poker, so do be on the lookout. If a finger comes to your forehead, you must be inspired. Otherwise, you get the poke. So we're talking about inspiration, and Roxy's sharing some of the glorious adventures that she's been on and, you know, different ways to manifest who your dreams and who you really are on the inside and kind of, you know, take an emotional machete and chop away those darn weeds in your EQ or emotional quagmire, as I have always called it, to really get out of your shell and step out and do something a little crazy and different. I know that... I just by paying for a toll once a month, that's what I do. People see that, and that is actually along my acquaintance line. Several people are doing that as well. So it's just a little effort. That's all it takes. You can do inspirational quotes on Facebook. You can write anonymous letters. It's one of the reasons why I like Post Secret. I love his concept about writing anonymous whatevers. You definitely can go and, you know, take someone's garbage out or, I don't know, volunteer for the Girl Scouts like Amy. There's always a little bit of something that you can do. My biggest one that's easy, fast, friendly, and cheap, and it is 150% effective, and I have no idea because I'm 340 years old. I've never tried it. Just kidding. It's smiling. That's all you have to do. Just smile. If that's the only thing that resonates with you at that moment, just smile when you're in public, because that will become contagious, and that is a way to inspire other people to change their mood for the moment.
Can I throw in a little statement there?
Absolutely.
This past weekend, I'd also gone to a beautiful cemetery up in Saco, Maine, called it's a Woodlawn Cemetery, and it's beautiful, and it's just such a wonderful place to walk around. There's thousands and thousands of daffodils that bloom there, and I was looking at some new monuments that were placed in the burying ground, very inspirational for those who had passed, and there was a gentleman who was standing by one of the monuments, and I didn't want to go near because he had his hand on the monument, and he had a rosary in one hand, and he was praying. And, you know, I made it a point to give him his space because he was having his moment. And I started to walk away, and he says, "Oh, did you want to come over and look at this one too?" And I says, "Well, you know, I don't want to intrude." And he said, "No, why don't you come and look at it?" And, you know, again, older man by himself. And he says, "You know," he says, "I come to this burying ground all the time." He says, "And that one stone behind me really sums it up." And we looked at the stone together, and he says, "Do good and forget it."
Amen.
And at that moment, I can't tell you how emotional I felt and how inspiring that moment was, because here was a man who I could see had evidently lost his wife a few years ago. He was had his hand on her grave, and he was, you know, very deep in his moment of prayer. And as grief-stricken as he seemed to appear to be, he still had the wherewithal and the inspirational voice enough to say, "Still do good and forget it." How powerful and profound is a moment like that? And again, you know, I ended up at the right time just passing this man in the burying ground. You know, I hadn't been up there for years and just wanted to go and look at the flowers. And there was an inspirational moment right there.
One of the things that I posted on Facebook yesterday, and I want to get your feedback because I don't know if you saw it, is a beautiful sentiment for especially the three of us because we are so connected in this. And it was a great inspirational quote that I received a lot of feedback on because it rose other people up, which is what we're doing. "I'm not going to impress you with my guruism talks. Neither I am going to please your stereotype mind with my uniform and long beards. Nor am I going to divide your life between good things and bad things. I am simply going to ask you to find your own truth until the last breath. Manifest your potential in any form it wants to come out. Enough of breathing in and out. It's time for a conscious uprising. That is a it's a direct quote from a Hindu Buddhist, Chandras, and I cannot pronounce the last name for the life of me, Bardwa? Chandras?
Bardwa.
Bardwa.
Yeah, Bardwa.
What I found so impactful about that is what we're talking about is inspiring, and what we're talking about is to have action behind the inspiration and to step outside of your box, and that's exactly what he's trying to encourage you to do. You don't have to have things. You don't have to have a uniform. You don't have to have anything more than the right place at the right time, like Roxy was explaining earlier. Do you have any more ideas in regards to what you...
Well, you know, in the end, it's really just be here now.
Mm-hmm.
Be here now and experience every moment the way you want to experience it, and start by standing in your own power. We all have the ability, no matter what our experience, as I said, where we come from, to stand in our own power and make that change. You know, think about starting tonight or tomorrow morning. Do something that may feel uncomfortable. Do something that may scare you, that you feel that you would never have the ability to do, and start that chain of events going, start that flow going, and you'll be surprised to see what lies around the corner for you. You know, make that little sacred space, start that journal, do something different than you did today, and try to do something different every day, and see what happens in your own life, in the people that are around you, and certainly in the way that you feel, because you will see that you do feel differently, and the more you do it, the easier it becomes.
One of Amy's famous authors that she refers to often loves to take a sticky note with an affirmation, even if it's as simple as, I am beautiful. And I know from personal experience that is a very difficult, you hit a certain age and that's a very difficult thing to really convince yourself that you are beautiful. And so Louise Hayes, everybody knows her, actually takes a little sticky note, writes an affirmation and sticks it to her mirror in the bathroom, so while she's brushing her teeth she sees these words. While she washes her hands, she sees these words. So that could be another way to start changing if you're not comfortable speaking it. Again, the best power in the beginning is to speak it as many times as you possibly can, because you're changing your mindset. But, you know, baby steps, stepping outside of that box, if that's something that makes you feel uncomfortable, write down the words, I am beautiful, and tape them to your mirror.
Well, remember, you are more than you know. You are more than the sum of your parts. And if you have a hard time, you know, saying that you're beautiful, you say, well, geez, you know, I've got a scar here. You know, my hair is turning gray. Beautiful is the sum of all that you are and all that you can be. And if you look at beautiful in a broader sense, other than what you just merely see in the mirror, start there, but think deeper on that thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll be a lot easier for you to come up with more affirmations on your own as well.
Yeah, one of my favorites that Roxy brings up in the interview, and I totally forgot until I saw the interview again, was my I can list. It's my go-to for all of my classes. I teach everyone how simple it is to take an index card and write down all the things you can do. I can breathe, I can hug, I can smile, I can blink my eyes, I can bake a mean cake. I really personally can't, but you all guys already know that. I can, you know, make my daughter laugh to the point where she's on the floor chuckling and I think she's going to suffocate herself. So there's this list of all the things you can do. You take usually 3 minutes, you write down all the things that you can do, and you put it away. And I always say in your glove compartment box or in your center console or in the bottom of your purse. And if you have purses like we do, the purse is a kind of suck up everything and you can't find anything and it takes you, you know, 20 minutes to find your car keys because it's just this huge purse. What do you call it? Hermione's satchel. When you do go to clean out your purse, you'll run across your I can list and you'll read it and then you'll add to it and you'll get a giggle because... Or you get a smaller purse, right? That's what I think I'm doing. So the I can list is a perfect, I think, 101 beginner's way to start appreciating and being grateful for the things that you can do. And you can transfer, you know, you can use different words, grateful for what you have, grateful for who you are, whatever your subject matter is. I think that's a great way to start.
And when you start doing your power of one, you know, stepping outside of your comfort zone and you start achieving, you can add all of those little achievements. I can enjoy a sunset at dawn. You know, I can enjoy writing in my journal. I can enjoy setting up my sacred space. You already are adding to your journal. You're adding to your experience. You're adding to your happiness. You're adding to that ripple effect that goes out there in the world. So you have the ability to do it all. You right there, who's listening to us right now, you can do it.
So, Roxy, can you give us again how we can get in touch with you and, you know, what, you know, the classes that you actually do? Is it just one that you work with people? Or can you explain a little bit about that?
Oh, sure. Well, you can find me again. It's RoxyZ.com, Roxy and a letter Z.com. You can contact me through there. Through my contact form. And certainly, if you have any questions after the show, feel free to contact me directly. I'd be happy to answer anything as well. I do have a schedule of events that I do and classes and consultations that I do as well, which you can find out the information on my website, you know, everything from art therapy to, you know, learning about goddesses, all of those great metaphysical arts, as well as, you know, the readings that I do as well. And again, as I said, I welcome any questions, but if you go to my website, it's kind of the landing page to other websites that are me as well. It's kind of hard to package it up.
Are you going to be at the
Eighth
Chakra event?
I'm actually a special guest in an event in Fairhaven on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a lot of special events that are coming up on the calendar over the coming weeks. I'll be a guest at the Metaphysical Fair in Fairhaven, Massachusetts, which is in the New Bedford area. So I'll be down there. Again, I was just there in October, and throughout the month of May, I have all sorts of events that I'll be doing. I'll be at the Manchester Public Library, and I'll be at the Newburyport Adult Education, doing all sorts of classes and workshops and things of that nature. I'm a busy gal. Again, overachiever status reigns in my world. I guess I stand a little too firmly in the power of one. That's really how much I believe in it. I do walk my walk and talk my talk. I believe in the power of one.
Great. Yeah, I was told, I'm one of those people too, the overachiever, busy bee. I was told, and it really helped me to embrace this, that even when I let go of a responsibility or something, I always replace it.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just okay with my busy life. That's
mm-hmm.
who I am. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I used to get frustrated. I have too much to do. I'm being pulled in too many different directions. And then when someone said that to me, they said, it doesn't matter what you take out of your life. You're going to fill that space again. That's the type of person you are, and just embrace it. And I did. And now it's okay for me to be busy. I'm 45 years old, and I run like a 20-year-old around with little children, big children, and, you know, I feel blessed that I can do that and that I have the energy and the capacity to do that.
Well, and see, a lot of that I'm sure comes from a sense of fulfillment and a sense of inspiration as well. When you feel that, then you can run like a 20-year-old. I like I said, I still can't believe I'm going to be 42 this year, and I still act like I'm 20. I mean, I want to do it all, and I try to do it all.
Well, you're talking about beauty. I don't focus and never have. Even though I used to model when I was young, it was more of people, oh, you should be a model. It wasn't what I wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
and it lasted a very short period because it wasn't something I wanted to do. I think everybody's beautiful in their own way. It doesn't matter to me what people look like, what they wear, or anything like that. And my girlfriend, I went to school with, was very close with, she lives in California, and she sends a message saying, to me, "I saw your new profile pic. I can't believe how much your daughter looks like you." And I'm like, "Really? That's really nice of you." She goes, "No, really." I go, "No, that really is me." She goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I live my life. Mm-hmm. And I don't worry about what I look mm-hmm. like." I know Little Bear Minerals does help a little bit, but, you know.
No, it's true, and you start to see things in a whole different light when you stop worrying about what you look like and what you're wearing and what other people think. I'm very fortunate. I think I caught on to that around the age of 30. And I tell you, I get carded for lottery tickets. I do. In our area, it's 18, and I still get carded. It's amazing. But again, it's very much a state of mind, and your beauty really shines from within. It really does. I know if you're a little bit younger, for the younger folks, you may find that very hard to believe. When I was in my early 20s, I wouldn't believe it at all. You will come to a point where the dawning will hit you that, oh, my God, I am a beautiful, amazing person, and I hope that dawning comes for you right at the moment that I'm telling you this.
That's what I try to teach all my girls and my Girl Scouts, that everyone's beautiful, everyone has a contribution to this planet, and we're all wonderful in our own ways. And that alone can empower a girl to do what she wants to do.
Absolutely, to be inspired.
Well, just having my two of my besties in the same room has inspired me, and it's been great because each of them are very gifted in their own thing, and what's even cooler is obviously, since they're my besties, I must be pretty cool. Damn.
Toot toot.
Toot toot. Put that big feather in my cap. Anyway, so we're going to wrap up the show a little bit. I have a few end-of-show things to talk about, but I want to give a big, warm, virtual and, hey, physical hug to my Roxy, and thank you so much. And I want to have you on again because you are multi-talented, and I don't think we really even scratched the surface on this subject, much less any of the other things that you do. So thank you. Very grateful to have you on the show. Very blessed. And do you want to finish with anything?
Well, thank you for having me. I really hope that for you and for the listeners that you really take at least one little nugget out of today's show and start there, because you, as I said, have the power to change your life now and to live very inspired and to achieve the goals that you have set for yourself, because we're all achievers to some degree. And it's amazing having the three of us together, because we're trying to shine our light out there for you to see. All you got to do is open your eyes and see it. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right, so don't forget that Amy and I are going to be show-stopping the regatta in Elliott this Saturday. Poke us in the forehead. Mine will be bruised because Roxy's here, so I'm sure I'm going to get a couple of good kicks. Don't forget that. And just for those of you who don't remember, I will be doing the Celiac Tour in Philly next Saturday, so I'll be in Philadelphia doing the hoedown in the celiac world. And stop by, see me, and it's on my Facebook page under events as well. There's a lot of really cool things coming up, and just, you know, whoever, your friends, your family, your cat, your dog, your pet mouse, because we do have listeners that have pet mice out there, your boa constrictor. I don't know about the boa constrictor part, but I was going to say give them a big old squeeze. I think the boa would probably squeeze you back. So it is Humpty Hump Day. We will hear you next week, and feel free to continue to call in. We have a huge lineup coming up over the summer. I will be sending out another newsletter hopefully sometime next week with an update on schedule. We love you. You are blessed. You are wonderful, and big shout out to all of you. Oh, that's right. We have, ironically, so funny. Thank you, Amy. She's a fabulous co-host. We have Janice Anderson, who does thermography. And catch this one. I went over to Journey to Wellness, and I was sitting there talking to my friend Jess, the ultrasound specialist in that beautiful boutique there at Journey to Wellness. Highly recommend you go and visit her. And there was Janice, and I had never met her before. So I introduced myself, and I was thrilled to, have her on the show next week to learn a little bit more about what she does. I actually think I'm going to invest and see how that turns out, because I think it's really neat science. Saturday I go to Portsmouth to the Go Pink Breast Cancer Expo. And guess who was there? And I looked at her and I said, you know, I see hundreds of faces, probably throughout the year thousands of faces, and I talk to hundreds of people. How do I know you? And she looked at me and she goes, I don't know. And I looked back and I said, and I looked at her little, her kiosk, and I said, oh, I met you yesterday. And it was such a chuckle that actually everybody on that side of the room started laughing. They're like, okay, whew, what's in their drink? But she will be joining us next Wednesday, so definitely feel free to call in. The number again is 347-205-9443. Don't forget to check out my crazy friend's website. That's roxyz.com, R-O-X-I-E-Z. Ooh, that's a song. R-O-X-I-E-Z.com, and we will catch you next week on the flip side. Be well. Love you.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.